it's time for Word on the Street. Soccer Sam welcomes the biggest names in Rochester sports, politics, media, and community to talk one-on-one. This is not your average interview show. Sam goes way beyond, some might say over the line, to get the inside dirt. Be a part of the show. Call or text 222-1280. Now live from the Fox Sports 1280 studios in downtown Rochester, this is Word on the Street. Here's Soccer Sam.
We are back here. Oh, I can't. You know, you're stereotyping Italian Americans, Justin. I don't like that.
Sorry.
What is wrong with you? Soccer fans, on Thursday, Mad Dog Sullivan finally died in prison, where he belongs. And one of the reasons he was in prison, because he killed a man, in my opinion, was an innocent man, a good family man. This man's name was John Farino. Nobody has covered that side of the story, and that's what I'm doing here today. And luckily for me, when my dad said, hey, we're going to move out of the city and move to Irondequoit, I got to move in a neighborhood with some great, great people, including the Farinos and the Marinos, and I got to know some great people. And one of the people I went to high school with, her name is Marie Farino. She's in the studio right now. Marie Farino Mitchell, welcome to Kick This Worldwide.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It is the Word on the Street. I got to remember that because I haven't done the show in a while. But the name of the show is Word on the Street. It's What's Going On, Marie, in Rochester. Thursday, Mad Dog passed away in prison. I saw you posted on Facebook that you, obviously, as the daughter of the man that he killed, was relieved, I would imagine.
Yes, some closure.
Some closure in your life. And who is this, your sister with you right now?
It's my daughter.
Your daughter? What's your name?
Alicia.
Alicia, hi. Welcome to Word on the Street.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, were you old enough to know your grandfather?
No, I never got to meet him.
You never got to meet him. So, Marie, before we talk about the event and the Mad Dog thing and all that, I want to find out about John Farino, the dad, the person. You guys grew up in Irondequoit,
yes.
Right across the street from us. We all hung out in the same area. Tell me about growing up, what he did for a living and how you knew him as a person.
Well, he started off as a construction worker, and then he became a Teamster, and we grew up normal. He was just a loving dad. We did family vacations. We did all kinds of things. Like, he loved his toys. We did snowmobiling. We did boating. We just had a lot of fun as kids.
And so, and a lot of people don't know this, but the Teamsters are being stereotyped. But right now, I mean, the Teamsters are still around right now. And America runs on what's going on with the Teamsters and their union. And that's a trucking and a lot of things that keep America going. For whatever reason, the media sensationalizes the Teamsters. But the Teamsters are a legitimate organization, and they were back then also.
Yes.
Your dad was one of the leaders of the Teamsters in Rochester.
Yes.
So Marie, so you were in 1978, we graduated from high school. What did you end up going to do after high school?
I just kept working. In 1978, I had lost my mother. So my father, you know, just had to take care of us then after that. So he did a really good job and, you know, set us on our goals and our careers. And
he was a great dad.
He was a great dad.
So in 78, I didn't realize this, so your mom died in 78.
Yes.
Cancer, I imagine?
She had a stroke.
Oh, stroke.
Due to having rheumatic fever when she was a child, so it wasn't like a genetic thing.
So John Farino, the dad, basically was the single parent.
Yes.
And he helped raise you, and you have sisters or brothers?
I have one sister.
One sister.
Nancy.
Nancy? Is Nancy listening right now, probably?
I don't know.
well, hopefully she is. So John Farino helped raise the two daughters in Irondequoit for a few years after graduating. When and how did you find out the tragic incident in December of 1981 that your dad had been shot by Mad Dog Sullivan?
Well, actually, I was out Christmas shopping for his gift, and when I was pulling into the driveway, I noticed that the officer Giovanni's car was there, and I didn't know what was going on. So when I opened up the door, and people were there, and they told me.
So you're out shopping, you come home, and the cop's there, and that was the cop that Mad Dog shot at. That was,
yes.
I heard him on Kimberly and Beck yesterday. That is awful. So, I mean, Did you feel as a kid? Did you feel fear? Did you feel like your lives were in, like right now? Let's face it, the Trumps are in danger. I mean, there's a lot of crazy things going on out there. I mean, did you feel that way? Did you feel like, hey, this is we live a normal life? My dad's a union leader. He does his thing. And how'd you feel?
Led a totally normal life. I never lived in fear ever. My father was very normal. His favorite thing to do was to sit on the couch, watch TV, and he loved his big bowl of popcorn. That's what he loved to do.
And never was in jail, never was arrested.
No.
And does it upset you that the way the media emphasized that because these guys were Italian-American and they were murdered or killed, that they had to be involved? Does that upset you?
The media just doesn't know the real him. They're going by what? Hearsay.
Right.
So I didn't know that side of him.
Right. But you knew that as a union leader, it was his job to kind of keep groups of people that were involved in different types of businesses to kind of be united, because you need you need to be united.
Yes.
And there was some issues back then with, you know, different factions not being happy with each other. Mm-hmm. And he basically wanted to kind of make peace. He was known as the peacemaker.
Right.
If you look at the history of the Rochester Mob, if you go on there, you look at the A team, B team, and then the C team, there's no name John Farino anywhere on there. He was never part of those groups. He was an innocent guy that got shot and murdered by some crazy guy.
Right. Well, a lot of those people I grew up around, too, they were all friends at one time before this A, B, C stuff all came, you know, about. So I don't know what happened. My father was loyal to his friends. I know that.
Yeah, he was a good man. So my wife tells me a lot of this stuff because I lost my memory, and I told you a little bit about that. No big deal. But in high school, we went to school with Patty something. Her dad was the chief of police. And
I can't remember.
It'll come to me. It'll come to me. But it was kind of cool. Not cool, but it was kind of weird how the same guy that was trying to like put all these guys in jail, not your dad, but the other guys, the daughter went to school with us, and her dad was the chief of police.
Yeah, I don't remember.
You don't remember that part, that person. It'll come to me. But so tell me about your dad. Like you told me that he was a loving daddy. He ate popcorn. He came home every day from work. Did you ever think that he was involved with anything illegal, wrong, immoral, or anything that they stereotype these Italian American men to be?
No, not to my knowledge. Yeah. He owned a bar for a while with one of his friends, and he used to love to cook. So we led a pretty normal life.
And then when you guys built the houses there, I know Tony Simone was the builder. He built my house, too, because I ended up eventually living in the same track with you, with you guys. I know, like, your dad did a lot of the work himself, and Dickie Marino did a lot of the work himself, because they were in that business. They were in the construction business.
Right.
But you guys had, like, the most beautiful houses back then. Like, my parents moved in to, like, these shacks, and then across the street were the mansions where you guys live.
Oh, thank you. They were nice.
Yeah, they were nice. So, I mean, growing up in our neighborhood, I mean, I would tell stories to people back then. I guess my wife told me that your dad was the nicest guy, and Dickie Marino was the nicest guy. And they were like kind of like fatherly figures to all the kids in the neighborhood, too. They were like good men. They were, you know, they weren't, you know, if all these stereotypes they're trying to do, you would think they would try to recruit 18 and 19-year-old guys like me into whatever lifestyle they were into. But that wasn't the case. They were businessmen, and your dad was a union leader.
Right. A lot of my friends, like, they would want to come and stay with us for a little while, whatever. We were of age where, you know, we could go on our own. And my father welcomed all the kids into our house. They were always my friends have nothing but good things to say about him.
So he's a great man. I'm talking right now to Marie Farino Mitchell. And her dad, John Farino, was killed in 1981 by Mad Dog Sullivan. Mad Dog Sullivan passed away in prison on Thursday. Did you guys frequent the Blue Gardenia restaurant? You know, like, people talk about the Blue Gardenia. When you live in Irondequoit where we live, there was two restaurants nearby. There was the Blue Gardenia and Pasta Villa. That was it. It wasn't like there was a restaurant every corner.
That's right.
So people say, well, that's where the guys hung out. No, that's where you went for dinner. That's where my family went for Mother's Day, Father's Day, any of event, because there were good restaurants back in the day.
Oh, us too. We were always there. It was like a family restaurant, too. It wasn't just the mob hangout, you know.
Yeah. It just upsets me that side of the story doesn't come out. And I said earlier on the earlier show I do called Kick This, the media controls a lot of things.
Yes.
And with this whole Trump thing and Bernie Sanders, it's pretty obvious how corrupt it can be. In my opinion, I know my father came from Italy, worked really hard, worked three jobs. My aunts and uncles came from Italy. They all worked two, three jobs. They were always stereotyped because they were Italians, that we were all in the mob, we were Sicilians. And a lot of it is because of how the paper and some of these movies portray our ancestors.
Exactly. No, my life was not like the Godfather movie.
It wasn't like Bronx Tale?
No, it wasn't like that.
Helicopters, you know, you didn't feel any of that.
No.
It just was just normal. And you weren't married at the time in 81.
No.
Your dad passed away. So you basically lived at home with your sister.
Right.
You got to know the guy. It's like, it's been long enough where I'm sure if you felt something, you could say it. He was just a normal man doing his job as a union leader.
Totally normal. I mean, he was a great dad. Taught us, you know, to have respect and loving, caring, and he raised me to be what I am today.
And when I told my wife, Linda Calabrese Fantuzzo, that you were going to be on the show, she said you were one of the nicest girls in school, one of the nicest people in school. That doesn't happen if you have some mobster-type dad. I mean, it just doesn't happen. It doesn't come together like that. You know, you are where you come from. And if you're this great, great person, you obviously came from this amazing family.
I had a very loving family, so it was very hard for me to lose both of them. At a very young age.
So when you got married, I'm not trying to like get emotional here myself, but I mean, when you got married, both your parents weren't there.
No.
And you had your kids.
I had my kids. I know they would have been awesome with my kids, you know. It's a loss.
So all these years that this happened with your dad being shot and killed by Mad Dog, has any media source ever reached out to the family members to get your side of the story ever?
No.
Never?
No.
So that's what I'm talking about. Like, how could the media back then, and even today, not say, hey, let's talk to the family of this man. Who was this guy? Was he really in the mob, or was he just a union leader doing his job in... They wanted his job. Somebody wanted his job. Was it a mob hit, or was it somebody trying to get somebody's job? It happens in Washington all the time, and somehow or now they bury it underneath the carpet, but back then they didn't.
Nope. The media I know they have to do their job too and report, but, you know, when they keep resurfacing, like, the pictures again of my father on the stretcher and this and that, they don't realize, you know, there's family out there that has to see this again.
Sure. It's got to be painful.
And
it's just awful. So, Marie, we are going to go to our first break. We're going to come back, and I'm trying to get the lady that her father helped bust Mad Dog in, because they saw him at this hotel, and they knew he was there, and they helped bust him. We're going to try to get her on if we could. If not, we come back. I want to find out more about you as a person and how this is upsetting to you about how he's being portrayed. Because tomorrow's Father's Day.
Right.
My dad died years ago in 95. I mean, to me, it's tough for me to celebrate Father's Day. You know, I don't call anybody wish him happy Father's Day because my dad's gone. Right. I mean, and I don't even like celebrating Father's Day with my own kids because it's like, it's just weird because my dad's not there. So I want to come back and talk about your dad as a father and what type of father he was and what type of grandfather he would have been.
Okay.
All right, we'll be back here on Kick It on Word on the Street, brought to you by Salvatores.com. It's Marie Farino Mitchell here in the studio live, the daughter of the late, great John Farino. We'll be back here on Kick This Worldwide.
Oh, oh, oh. Alrighty.
Save on your next oil change when you purchase 5 quarts of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil and a MicroGuard filter for $23.99. Or for higher mileage vehicles, upgrade to Castrol GTX high mileage for $24.99. Plus get a $5 O'Reilly gift card by mail. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Every day.
Download the free iPlay app for your PC to get unlimited access to thousands of your favorite games. Did we mention the best part? There's no sign-up or credit card required. Just download and start playing. Visit iPlay.com on your PC today.
Dirt.
Mr. Worldwide to infinity.
We are back on Word on the Street, brought to you by Salvatore's.com. Marie Farino Mitchell in the studio live. The daughter of John Farino. You heard all the news this week. Mad Dog Sullivan died in prison. I mean, did you follow his career? I mean, what he's done? This is the part of the media I don't get. I'm not a reporter. I got a third grade education. You know that. You used to help me my homework in high school. I mean, summer school was my favorite subject. I mean, that's how bad I was in school. But listen to this. I don't know if you know this. Where's my glasses? I lost my glasses. They're all there on my head. In 1967, Mad Dog Sullivan killed the father of eight. Went to prison in 1967. In 1973, he escapes from Attica Prison, the only person to ever escape. How in the hell is he paroled in 1975, and how in the hell was he able to kill someone in 1981, including your dad? He killed someone in 67. No one's even talking about this. He escaped from prison. Everybody talks about he's the only guy to ever escape from Attica. Yeah, exactly. That was in 73. He gets paroled 2 years later. Talk about the mob. Talk about corruption. How in the hell was that guy out on the streets 7 years later?
I have no idea how he got out on the streets.
It's just crazy. I mean, but no one's talked about that. I don't see that anywhere.
I didn't even know that yet.
Yeah, see how I'm helping you here?
Yeah, you're helping me.
So that's upsetting to me, and how that hasn't been reported in any way. Look, I'm not trying to clear the name of every Italian-American that ever was involved in anything illegal, but I know that John Farino wasn't. I know that for a fact. I've done a lot of homework. I've talked to a lot of people. He was never in jail. He was never arrested. He was a good, hardworking man that worked the ranks in the construction business. And eventually, there was an opening in the Teamster union, and just there was all today. My parents got into Delco or products, wherever they worked, because
right.
of the union. They you know, they were helping Italian Americans get into jobs, and they worked hard in Delco and fashion and and Xerox and Bosch Salam and all these companies, union people helped Italian Americans get in these. Your dad was one of those people.
Oh, for sure. It did help.
He
had those for the people. Yeah, it was great.
It was great back then to help. So now your dad, growing up, we talked about how he was a great, normal guy, and you never, you know, you knew that, like, a lot of my friends seem to be on the shit. You know, they drive the nice cars, they wear
right.
the nice clothes. But I know they're not in the mob. I just know they work really
right,
hard, and
right.
I've defended some of them for years. I mean, you growing up, did you hear the stereotype stuff out there about your dad's friends? Was that out there?
I heard, you know, remarks about the Italians. I mean, we all did when we were growing up,
right.
you know. But my father pretty much was a jeans guy. I mean, he didn't, like, dress up in suits all the time. He didn't walk around like that, you know.
Right, he was just a laid-back guy.
Yeah, work boots, jeans, you know.
And for whatever reason, we like nice cars.
He had his nice cars.
Yeah, and my dad was a factory worker, but he, every year in September, he would take my brother and I to the car dealers to look at all the newest cars. It was like, it was this thing, when you came from Italy, if you had a nice car and a nice house, you made it in America. And that was kind of part of the stereotype, where unfortunately the media portrays it as you're a mobster if you have nice clothes or nice cars or a nice house.
Oh, I thought I was so cool when he would let me take his Lincoln and I would pull up at school. I'd give people a ride to school, and he had, at the time, the phones that were in the car. I thought I was like it.
You're the girl.
I was the girl.
So that's awesome that you were able to do that. Summary, all these years that have passed, have you followed the Mad Dog's career? Did you follow if he was still alive, if he was still in prison? Or
I haven't followed him.
Not at all?
No.
So basically when you found out, like I did in the media
right.
Thursday, is how you found out and you posted the story.
That is how I found out. My daughter had sent it to me. I didn't even hear it. My other daughter sent it to me. And I was like, oh my God. And that's when I put, yay.
So how many kids do you have?
I have three.
Three kids? All daughters?
Nope. My youngest is a boy. He's 26.
Wow. Cool. So you found out from your daughter. You posted on Facebook, and a lot of people commented, you know, that this has to be tough for you, reopening the wound, whatever. Tell me how that felt to you when you found out that he passed away.
I mean, it brought up a lot of memories, you know, and of course, you know, I missed him and seeing him on the stretcher again and stuff. It brought back a lot of memories. People were afraid to, like, say they saw it on the news. I'm like, you don't have to be afraid to say something to me, you know. It's okay. You know, it's better for me to talk about it.
Makes you feel better.
Yes.
So, did you follow the trial when he was, Mad Dog was going to prison? As a kid, do you remember following the trial and saying, hey, let me see if this guy goes away?
I didn't go to the trials, but I have the newspapers from it, and I still saved them all.
You saved them all, and you read them, and you saw, and then when he got basically sent away for three life sentences, you probably were really happy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just weird how no one's figured out how this guy was out. I would love to know that story. How did this guy get out of prison?
I want to know that story because I don't know how somebody could kill somebody and get out of jail.
Yeah, and escape from prison and get a pass. Imagine that.
I can't.
It's just crazy. So, Marie, how do you remember your dad, like, today? Do you have a picture of him in your house? Do you talk about him to your kids? I mean, how do you keep the memory of your dad alive? I try to do it with my grandsons. To tell them about my dad or what he did and things he said. Do you do that? Do you
just talk to them about it? And, you know, I tell them I wasn't spoiled growing up. My father, you know, you have to get a job. You have to do this on your own. I had to get in my car. And you want things, you have to work for them. So he put instilled, you know, good morals in me.
And you pass that on to your kids?
I try to.
Yeah. And you passed on some soccer, too, right? You played soccer when you were a kid?
Yes.
That's awesome.
All my kids did soccer.
That's awesome. So tell me what's next for the memory of your dad. How do we fix the fact that the media has portrayed him in somewhat of a negative light? We're doing our job right now on the show. Obviously, the show it's not ABC News or how do we get that out there that not all the Italian American men that were part of that era were bad people?
I don't know. Yeah. To me, it's, you know, people just need more information on it. It's just they're ignorant to think that it's just the stigma of the Italians, you know.
Back then, yeah. And then, like, it's kind of weird that most of the cops that were involved were Italians.
Yes, exactly.
And you wonder, like, when they have all these nicknames for all these guys and the A-team, B-team, C, who told them all this stuff? Or was it it's just some reporter talking to some cop and the cop saying, well, this is the A-team and this is the B-team and this is the C-team. And
right.
You just wonder how all that happened. I mean, it is interesting to read, and that's kind of why I think they do a lot of that stuff. So it's interesting, but I don't know how true a lot of it is.
I couldn't say how true a lot of it is. At one point, I just thought they were all friends.
Yeah, just friends growing up, and
friends growing up, dinners together, you know, pool parties together.
Did you guys know Sammy Gingillo?
That was like my father's best friend,
Sammy G. So
yes.
So when he died earlier in 1978, got blown up in a car bomb, in front of another restaurant downtown. At that point in time, did you guys say, hey, you know? Marie, don't start my car. You know, send somebody to go start the car. Like, I mean, was there fear then?
If he had fear, he didn't bring it into the house. I didn't have any fear.
None at all.
He didn't, you know, bring that around us.
But you would think if he had fear,
right?
And he was in any way connected, he would say, Marie, you're not going outside today. You're not taking you're not taking my car to school. You're not driving my car to school because, there's danger out there.
Right.
That never happened.
No.
And so, I mean, obviously what you're telling me, and I know how Italian-American fathers are and how loving they are, especially their daughters, there's no way in hell that he thought that if you were in harm's way, that you'd be taking his car to school.
Nope.
So that was...
So I didn't grow up with fear.
None at all. So when Sammy G died, did you guys go to the funeral and all that? Do you recall that era at all?
I do recall that because I could remember my father coming home. I think he was with him when it happened. Or he saw it happen, and he was very upset about it, and because that was really his closest friend.
And back then, they were doing weird stuff like that.
And he was a real nice guy too, because we used to go to his house all the time.
Yeah, so I heard stories about him that he was a hardworking guy, you know, and everyone stereotypes all these guys to be like someone maybe they're not, and if they were, you know. I think it was a lot of it's exaggerated, and I'm not trying to clear the name of any guy that was involved ever before. I just know that if you look at the history of John Fiorino, sorry, I got these new teeth. That's my third set of teeth.
Oh my
God.
It's
so hard to eat, talk with him. But he never was arrested. He never was in a lineup. He never was even stereotyped at that time. But when he was killed... they kind of flipped it a little bit. They didn't say an innocent union leader that never had been arrested, never was in trouble, got killed. They flipped it all.
Right.
It's just awful that the media does that stuff.
They do. They don't want to ever say the good parts.
Yeah.
Well, they don't even ask about it.
So how's your sister deal with all this, that your sister wouldn't come on with us?
She has a lot more anxiety. She's very she's very introverted, so.
Is she younger than you?
She's 3 years younger than me.
All right, so she was a baby when your mom passed away in 78, and then your dad passed in 81.
It was really just her and I growing up, so we lived together and kind of took care of each other.
So your mom died in 78, then your dad died in 81. Did you guys stay in the house for that long?
No, we got our own apartment. We still had my mother's parents, my grandparents, and they helped us a lot. I was very close with them.
That's awesome. So. Well, listen, we have to go to one more break. We're going to try to line up somebody from the Demonville Inn where Mad Dog was busted. There's some rumors that he may have escaped there that night, too, and hit out at the Demonville Inn when he took off from Officer DiGiovanni. We're going to find out if she knows anything about that. We'll be back here on Word on the Street with Marie Farino-Mitchell in a few minutes here on Fox Sports 1280 AM. Thank you.
And now, the iHeartRadio Weekend Sports Time Capsule.
What's happening, sports fans? It's me, Bald Freak Ronnie. I'm here to take you on a trip back in time to this week in sports history. Starting way back in 1922, when St. Louis Brown pitcher Hub Pruitt commits a rare feat, striking out the mighty Babe Ruth three straight times. Fast forward to 1981, Larry Holmes wins by technical knockout over Leon Spinks in the third round for the WBC heavyweight boxing title. In 1990, the Baltimore Orioles' Cal Ripken plays in his 1,308th consecutive game, moving past Everett Scott into second place on the all-time list. In 2002, Scotty Bowman wins his ninth Stanley Cup as a coach. It's an NHL record. He promptly retires. And in 2016, Cristiano Ronaldo becomes the first footballer to top the Forbes highest paid athletes list, earning $88 million.
That's your iHeartRadio Weekend Sports Time Capsule.
I'm Dan Taberski. My new podcast is Missing Richard Simmons. You know Richard Simmons likes to exercise, but did you know he was going to be a priest? Did you know he was in a Fellini movie? Most importantly, did you know that 3 years ago, he vanished?
All of a sudden, nothing.
He straight up got up and disappeared.
And I'm trying to find him. Search for Missing Richard Simmons now on iHeartRadio.
We are back on Word on the Street. Marie Farino-Mitchell in the studio. Hi. You look fantastic, by the way. Thank you. So, we are now going to a lady that I just talked to this morning by accident. Let me tell you a quick story. We're doing a new Salvatore's office in Empire Boulevard, and we go across the street a lot to this place called The Odyssey after work with the contractors. And I don't know if your mic's on. Is your mic off?
Let me see here. Should be on now.
Okay.
Okay, there you go. So we go there, right? And all of a sudden I hear all these stories about that's where the mob guy got caught. And I didn't know any of this. Keep in mind, I lost my brain. So all of a sudden this thing comes out in the paper. I'm listening to all these shows on iHeartRadio. You know, Bob Matthews had people on, and Kimberly and Beck and Weeze and Lonsberry, all my friends had people talking about this era. And I realized that the place they're talking about is the Odyssey, which is now the Demonville Inn. And I know the guy that owns the Odyssey. So I call Louie up. Louie owns Odyssey. And I say, hey, Louie, do you know anything what happened with this Mad Dog guy and how he got busted? He goes, no, but I know the daughter of the original owner. So right now, we are going to the daughter of the original owner of the Demonville Inn. I know I'm saying it wrong, Debbie. Debbie, welcome to Word on the Street.
Thank you.
So, Debbie, how do you properly say the old name of the famous landmark hotel and bar?
Oh, Denonville.
Denonville. Okay.
Yeah.
So I was saying it wrong. It's now called the Odyssey. It's on Empire Boulevard, right across from like Delta Sonic and all that. So, Debbie, how old were you when this whole Mad Dog thing happened and the cops showed up and they raided the hotel that your parents worked their, you know, their tails off to get going?
I was 27.
I thought you were a kid. So, I mean, 27 is still a kid, but you're old enough to know what was going on. Tell me what happened that night and how it all went down.
The night or the day of the thing or the night before?
Both. Tell me about the night before first.
The night before, there was a big thing going on in the bar. It was packed. And I do not know. Oh, Charlie Harmon was our bartender. And so he checked in. The girlfriend and
Mad Dog's girlfriend checked in the night before.
I guess so.
Okay.
And she was there with a guy, but I never did see Mad Dog.
Okay.
Nobody ever saw him.
So did the police or anybody ever figure out who that guy was that brought him to town or was there hanging out at your bar?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
No, we had no idea. That he was even there.
Okay, so the night before, you know, his girlfriend checks in, nobody knows he's there.
Right.
So what happens the next day?
Well, the next morning, they waited for the kids to get off to school because the bus came right across the street at Creek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And but my little sister, who's 18 years younger than me, was not allowed to leave the property. The police came in and told my dad to lock the bar doors. There was people in room 2 that they had to keep their door locked, and the housekeeper happened to be in room 4. And so they waited for the school buses to leave, and then when he was coming out, they all came up like it was on TV, like the FBI.
They busted it. Was he in room 3?
He was in room 3.
Okay, so he's in room 3. They all come out like you see on TV, and they basically raid him, and no gunshots, no...
No, there was nothing. There was nothing. Everything was peaceful. He had a trunk load of guns, but everything was peaceful.
So do you know, like, somebody told me that they think that night when he escaped from the police officer, Michael DiGiovanni, the night that he murdered John Farino, that he came to your hotel and stood there. Is there any truth to that rumor?
Now, that was, what year was that?
That was in 81.
In 81? Oh. I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I really don't know.
So you told me an interesting fact the other day that, or this morning when I talked to you, that your dad passed away how many years ago?
18 years ago.
18 years ago to the day that Mad Dog passed away?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And, you know, I know I forgot to tell you this morning, but I told you my dad was a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
He was a mill caller. He had his own business. And do you know where we're from?
No.
Attica.
Wow. it's weird, coincidental kind of weird stuff there. But so 18 years to the day he passed away, do you think in your dad's mind, here's, you know, he's a farmer, he decides to buy a bar, buy a hotel, an investment. Did he blame this incident on helping his business or hurting his business?
In the beginning we thought, it was going to hurt the business because it did have a reputation.
Mm-hmm.
But it started becoming a family place. And we thought maybe it was going to hurt the place, but it didn't. It didn't.
Right.
In fact, people kept saying, what are you going to charge us more now for room 3?
That's right. Did you guys ever do anything with that room 3? Like, did you ever do anything weird about it? I mean, it's kind of like, this is part of history. There's books about this. There's going to be a movie about this and all that. And okay, cool.
Yeah, no, we didn't.
Well, Debbie, I know Louis is doing a great job with the Odyssey that used to be the Denonville Inn. I go there. He's remodeled it. It's gorgeous.
Denonville. It's a historical name, you know.
What does it mean?
It's the Marquis de Denonville. There's the Denonville Trail. Goes way back in history.
Oh, cool.
If you look, that's why we did it that way, because we wanted to get away from the overlook.
Gotcha. It used to be called the Overlook, then it would be called the
Denon.
There you go, Denonville. Now it's a name I could say, Odyssey. It's the Odyssey Bar and Hotel. Well, Debbie, thank you so much for sharing a little of that history with us. And I think all three of us, Marie, you and I, tomorrow, Father's Day might be a little different, thinking about these guys that, you know, were part of history in a weird way.
Right, right.
Agreed, yes.
Yeah, and her interview was really interesting. Oh. It was very good.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, Debbie. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon, Debbie.
Okay, thank you.
I'll see you at the Odyssey maybe for a drink.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So that all happened this morning really quick. Lou Pettit, I called Louie, and and he was just, give me this name. But so we all kind of like, a lot of Irondequoit moved to Webster.
Oh, yes.
And so everybody that's in Irondequoit knows where this all happened. Like, this was the talk back then. I was like 18, 19 when all this came down. It was kind of like stuff you hear about. And a lot of people thought that when you watch Goodfellas and Bronx Tale, a lot of that stuff people think was taken from that era. Because the characters are very similar to some of the characters that hung around Rochester at the time.
Oh, yeah. But it wasn't really like that. I mean, maybe if they were doing their business, you know, whatever. Yeah. I don't know how they acted, but not at home.
No, but I mean the nice houses, the nice houses, nice cars, you know. The women all always dress nice.
Yeah, I was the spoiled little mafia princess.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. No, I wasn't even spoiled.
Yeah, not at all. You were hard. Like, your dad wouldn't let you had to buy everything.
He taught me how to, you know, be respectful and, you know, have morals and stuff.
So John Farino, the man that never was arrested, never had a criminal record, that was murdered by Mad Dog Sullivan, he obviously was a great dad.
Oh, yes, the best.
He raised you very well.
Thank you.
Everyone that I talked to Joe Guadagnino this morning who knew you, said you were such a sweetheart. And Tony Gabrielli said you were a sweetheart. So all the people that I lost my memory, people that remember you said you were a sweetheart person. Again, that doesn't happen when you're raised by someone that's not right. A good person. And so I just want to clear the air today here on the show. And tomorrow's Father's Day.
Right.
Let's do something special. I mean, we're drinking. So can we say this? I don't even know if we can say it. We're drinking wine on the air here. I don't even know if that's legal. Let's do a toast to our dads right now. Hold on. Let me get some wine here. You're not going to tell anybody, are you? All right, cool.
Let's do a little.
Oh, my God, you're too funny. Oh, you're so funny.
Let's do a toast to the memories of your dad, John Farino, that was murdered, and your grandfather. And may he have a great Father's Day in that special place in the sky.
Thank you. And your dad, too.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And to all the dads out there, let's do a toast right now. If you're driving, don't do this.
Kills me.
So, I'm, like, shocked by this story. I didn't know all this. And I'm on a... Let me tell you, you don't know where I was yesterday. I'm texting you back and forth. I'm Facebooking you.
Right.
I'm on a bus, a 7-hour bus trip with my soccer team to Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, my God.
And I'm reading this. This is what I picked up in the morning. So I'm reading this thinking all the stuff my wife has told me about you and the story and the Marinos and how we grew up across the street. So that's how this came down, like, in less than 24 hours. So I'm so happy to finally really get to meet you again face to face. You look like you should still be in high school. You look fantastic.
Thank you.
What have you been doing all the years? What do you do for a living?
I work at a school working with special education kids. I've been doing it for 20 years.
That's fantastic.
So I really enjoy it.
Giving back, helping.
I love kids.
That's fantastic. And your sister, what does she do?
She's currently not doing anything right now. She's, you know, got some depression things. She took my father's things. She was younger and losing my mother and stuff. She took it, like, a lot harder. I kind of, you know, had to get myself together and pull through, you know.
You had to be the older sister
pull
through, and she was younger. That had to be awful for that poor kid. How old was she roughly when you... In 81, so that was 78. We graduated in 78. We probably were both 17 or 18. So you had to be 20. So how old was she?
3 years younger than me.
So she's like 16, 17.
Really, from losing my mother, she was young. To lose a mother that young, she was like...
Probably 14.
50 or 14, I think.
Oh, that poor
kid. Yeah.
So you lost your mom, and your dad had to help not only console the two daughters,
right.
But, you know, obviously go to work every day and be the breadwinner and make all that happen. And then you had to probably fill in as like a mom figure.
Yep, I did.
You did a good job.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sure. I mean, it helped you probably with your own kids.
Oh, God.
Right?
I'm Mama Bear, they'll tell you.
Oh, my God, are you?
Well, that's good that you do that. So, Marie, one last thing I had to ask you about your dad that I wanted to ask you. When he was friends with all these guys and all this was going down, it never occurred to you that why is he friends with these guys? Like,
well, you know, I did think he was hanging around. I mean, a lot of them looked with the suits and this and that. I mean, I had my suspicions.
Right.
You know, just by the way, I mean, from the movies, you know, just I had suspicions.
Yeah, because Godfather had already been out. Godfather 1 and 2 probably had already been out. And that's kind of like how they live. They had a nice car.
Right.
So you had your suspicions, but you knew at home your dad sat on the couch,
right,
wore jeans, ate the popcorn,
yep,
went to the union meetings, came home, made sure his two daughters were all set, his wife died young. I mean, he was juggling a lot of things. And,
yes.
And you didn't see that side of him because there wasn't that side of him.
No,
he was just
at home
doing his job as a union leader.
Right. Nope, I didn't see it at home at all.
So did he have any brothers or sisters, your dad?
He had a sister that I really don't have, you know, I haven't had kept
contact.
No.
And and he was born in Rochester, New York, do you know him?
He was born in Rochester.
Probably went to schools here and all that.
Yeah. Not sure if he went to the same school as my mother. My mother went to East High. He might have. I don't know quite where they met.
You don't know? No.
That's
you know, when we're younger, we don't know the stuff. As we get
older,
what is now? This is the age where you try to find out more about your history,
right, exactly.
And then you can't get it because they're unfortunately both gone.
Exactly. I mean, there's a lot of questions. When I was finally old enough to be able to talk to my parents and have, you know, that adult relationship,
right?
I didn't have that.
So the Marinos were your next door neighbors,
yes.
Dickie Marino and Sue.
Yes.
So are you have any? You talk to them anymore?
No. No.
Well, I just wonder, like, is all this coming back, like, bother people? Like, I mean, I just think a lot of it's fabricated. I mean, a lot of it's exaggerated and fabricated. And obviously, we know it is with your dad.
Right.
We know it is. But with some of these other people, I think a lot of it's just, you know, is stereotyping Italian-Americans. And they still do it today.
I mean,
I hear the comments all the time. I mean, you know, I work 17 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I get the little insinuendos and buddies of mine that work their tail off, you know, that I know work their tails off in the car business and other businesses. They hear the little, oh, it must be nice, or, you know, you must be connected. And, like, there's no connection. There's nothing out there like that. And people think that. And I
we
think,
work.
Yeah, we work.
We work for our stuff.
Yeah, we work really hard for it. Well, I think today we did a good job, and I think Debbie said it. You did a great job clearing the air and making people understand that your dad was a good man that was murdered, and the media forgot that side of the story. And I think I did the best I can with the ability I have with no sleep to bring the best out of that let people know that John Fiorino was a good man, a hardworking man, a great family man, a great father, would have been a great grandfather if he wasn't killed at such a young age. That was all overlooked in all these stories and all these books that they're trying to write and all these movies that they're going to do. That important part of it is missing.
Right. Well, I'm glad I came because I was nervous, you know, but you made me feel relaxed, so I'm glad I came and got to, at least in his honor, say how he was really, you know.
He's a good man. Well, Marie Fiorino, Fiorino Mitchell, thank you so much for being part of Word on the Street, our first episode of the season. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me.
Last minute like this.
I know.
Yeah.
It's great to see you.
I know. It's great to see you, too. And have you been to any of those high school reunions or any of that?
No.
No? I haven't either.
No.
I mean, it's hard for me because I don't remember anybody. And it's like, because I'm in business and I'm on TV, sometimes people think you're stuck up because you don't remember them. I don't remember them because I don't have a memory.
Oh,
so that's a challenge.
So hard.
So I spent a lot of time, you know, looking at Facebook and yearbooks right underneath my bed, and I look at names and look at people. And Mahoney, Patty Mahoney, Chief Mahoney. So Mahoney, if you look at if you go online and look it up, Chief Mahoney was trying to bust a lot of the same group, and we were in the same school. So the kids of the people that her dad were trying to bust, We all went to school together. Imagine that we're in like volleyball class and like we're spiking each other. Meanwhile, you know they have surveillance cameras on our friends and family.
I have to look the picture up because I can't associate. I need to see a face to to see the name.
If you
remember
at,
the name, yeah.
If you look at the yearbook, it also says where she lived, and she lived on Newport Road, which is right up the street from
God.
Where we grew up.
Yeah, I have my yearbook still. I have to look it up.
So it's kind of weird how that all that whole connection. So the other night, Bob Matthews, he had a bunch of people on talking about this whole era, and I texted him afterwards and said, I grew up around all these people. When my dad moved us to Irondequoit, we lived across the street from the Farinos, the Marinos. Mahoney was up the street, and they were the chief of the police. I got to know all those people. Sammy Gingillo, his daughter or someone involved with him, worked for us for years at Salvatore's on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like knew a lot of these people over the years, and I shared stories with my wife and family and friends that they've reminded me of. So when I hear this, interests me. This kind of stuff is like,
it's very interesting.
Yeah, it was a big era, and not only in Rochester but in America. That whole mobster slash, Cosa Nostra era was, it's fascinating to a lot of people.
It is, because it doesn't go on anymore. Well, that we hear of or know of, at least.
Right. And when did you, this is the question I was going to ask you, and my mind went blank. When The Sopranos were on, did you watch it?
I never watched that. I don't know. I know. I heard it was really good. I never watched it, though.
So, people tell me that The Sopranos, there had to be a writer from Rochester, because a lot of the characters and a lot of the places and a lot of the way they act and the way they talk were so similar to guys of that era in the city.
I'll have to catch up on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's on all those things. I don't
Netflix
have any of that.
Netflix and all that stuff, yeah.
I got 8-track in my house. I got nothing else, but I don't know. But we got to go to break again. You're foaming at the mouth. Okay, Justin Credo. We're going to go to break. Marie, I want to say goodbye to you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And I appreciate this. And
thank you.
And I hope that the wine helped relax you a little bit.
Oh, my God, you're killing me.
And tell me your kids' names again and what they do before I let you go.
Alicia is in school. Brittany is going to work. She just got a job, going to be an EMT in the emergency department.
Cool.
She has two kids, so I'm a grandma. And my son, Michael, is in school.
Nice. So what are you going to school for?
A counselor.
Counselor?
Yeah, that's what I've always wanted to do.
That's cool. That's cool. And it's kind of like what you do in school a little bit. You're helping kids that need. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Helping people. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Got it from my mom.
Well, I appreciate you both being here. Have yourself a great weekend, and tomorrow, a second toast to your dad tomorrow, okay?
You too.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll be back here on Word on the Street with Soccer Santino and Justin Credible.
Hurt in a car? Call William Attar. When you need something done right, look for someone who's done it thousands of times. Your go-to mechanic, your experienced electrician, your trusted surgeon. People you can count on because they focus on doing one thing so they can be the best. At William Attar, we have decades of experience helping people hurt in car accidents. That's our one thing, and it's what we do best. 444-4444. Main Street, Williamsville, West Main Street, Rochester.
So what if I told you there is a way when you're ready to buy a new or used car where you can save some time? You can if you use what I use, and that's TrueCar, because with TrueCar, you can actually get real pricing on actual inventory. Sometimes you get a price online and you get to the dealer and that car's not there. Not with TrueCar. And by the way, over 3 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. Trust TrueCar like I did, all right? You're going to work directly with a TrueCar Certified Dealer contact. It is TrueCar. Some features not available in all states.
Sox play 2 in Rhode Island. Wings pregame begins at 4:15 on Rochester's number one sports station, Fox Sports 1280.
I got more important
We're back. It's the Word on the Street. First episode will be on every week here at noon on Fox Sports 1280 Rochester and on your iHeartRadio app, obviously. And we're going to cover things that are going on in the city of Rochester. I'm working on trying to get that judge in here, Leticia Stasso. I can't say her name, but I'm going to try to get her on here. I got somebody, a connection, trying to get her on the show, hopefully for next week. I know she's still somewhere behind bars, but we're going to try to get her on because that's another story. How does a single mom become a judge and work her way in that career? You know, lawyer to judge, and it's not easy to do that. I mean, anybody who's gone to college or gone to law school knows. How does this all happen? And now there's some rumblings that a lot of it was her daughter, and she was trying to protect her daughter, and that's a story, and that's got to come out. But that's what I mean. It's like, you know, I'm not saying everything in the media is wrong or crooked or slanted, but I think a lot of it is done in a way to destroy people and to hurt people and to sell papers and to get people your ratings higher. And when I did some homework, some simple two-second homework on John Farino, I'm thinking this guy was not a mobster. This guy wasn't connected. He wasn't a mob guy. He was a union guy that got killed, and no one even took the time to find out who he was or who his family is, and it's weird. And then how does Mad Dog Sullivan get the hell out? How did he kills a guy in 67. He's the first guy to ever escape from Attica prison in 73. Unless there's something on the internet that's wrong, but he's the first guy to escape, and he's paroled in 75? Talk about the mob. I mean, his dad was a cop, and maybe his dad had some influence. But if this guy doesn't get paroled, they're saying he killed at least 20 people, including John Fiorino. If he doesn't get paroled, there's 20 lives and 20 families that aren't affected. And grandkids that we talked to today aren't affected. I mean, it's just, there's no story on that. That's a no-brainer. I can't believe somebody didn't do a story on that yet. It's just sickening. I'm not saying all the news is fake, but when I watch what's going on right now with this political stuff and I see what goes on in sports and how the sports media could almost dictate what team is going to fail and make it, and it's just, are you a basketball guy?
Not really, no.
No? Well, it was game three or game four that the team that won it, was Golden State won it?
Golden State
was in Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
Well, it just happened, Golden State just happens to have a bad game, and Cleveland just happens to win where they have to have the next game in Golden State. It's so freaking fixed.
Yeah.
It's so fake, but the media doesn't even write that. It's like, of course they want to win the championship at their home court and get payday revenue streams and merchandise and everything else. No one even covers that. It's just weird how it's so slanted. How do we fix it, Justin? How do we fix how, like, you could watch Fox and CNN back-to-back on the same exact interview about the same exact person, and you have a whole different view of what just happened? It's just crazy. Has it always been this way? See, I'm new to the world. I've only been around for like 7 years, so I don't know if this has always been this way. But I wonder, you know, especially when I'm reading about all this crime stuff and this mafia stuff that's going on, you wonder how much of it was just totally exaggerated. Was there really an A team, a B team, a C team? Was it really that? Or was it some guy was sleeping with some other guy's girlfriend, so they blow up his car? Was it that the union boss... Was it that the union boss basically was trying to not pull favors for somebody, so they said, all right, now we're going to get rid of this union boss. Let's get rid of John Farino so this other guy can be the new union boss and he'll do what we want and pull our favors. Was it really the mob back then, or was it just dirty business? Or is the mob is dirty business? I don't know. What is this? Soprano song?
No, this is the clothes that's in the log.
Oh, that's Phil Mercado, man. He's I like it.
Yeah, it's funky.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of the Soprano song.
It is a little bit, yeah.
So does that mean we got to go?
Yeah, you got about 20 seconds.
So this is the first episode of The Word on the Street. I want to thank again Marie Fiorino Mitchell for coming in and sharing her story about her late great dad, John Fiorino, that was murdered. And the murderer died Thursday in prison. We'll be back here next week, same time, noon, on Fox Sports 1280 Rochester and on your iHeartRadio app.